Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. This morning's share is entitled Forbidden Foods, Mistaken Brachas, What a Mess. Now, a lot of times, especially when you're younger, messes are fun. You think of a kid after they have some nice chocolate, their face all covered in chocolate. What do the parents do? Sometimes they run to wipe the child's hands lest they touch anything and chocolify it. But the other reaction parents have when a kid makes a mess, so the parents run, grab a camera, quick, take a picture. The kid looks so cute with the mess. But many things, when they're the age of kids, is cute. When you get older, a mess is not a good thing. And brachos is an area where you could get into lots and lots of messes. I was thinking about it. If you go through halacha, what are the halachas which unfortunately people make the most mistakes on a daily basis? You know, the Chafetz Chaim does write in his Hakdama to Chelek Gimel of the Mishnah Berurah that Tilchas Shabbos, if people don't know the halachas, unfortunately they can make mistakes all the time on the day of Shabbos. But in terms of weekdays, I would venture to say probably the biggest area of mistakes is in brachos. The halachas of brachos are not simple. Plus, you're making, we'll talk about in a moment, you know, many dozens and dozens, hopefully 100 brachos a day. And if a person is sometimes not knowledgeable in the halachas, that means they're going to be making brachos, which we'll see in today's share, the danger of that, a bracha levatala, or sometimes other situations, a bracha that's not needed. But these things are a big problem. And it's probably kedai for us to learn the halachas of brachos done. Make sure that our brachos are done correctly. And we get ourselves in situations where we have issues with brachos. We have a bracha mess. We should know some of the halachas of how to deal with it. Probably the first year we gave, way back, the beginning of the pandemic, before it really even spread, we gave a share of 100 brachas a day keeps the plagues away. Touching on the concept that David HaMelech set up, that we should say 100 brachas a day, and that, in his times, was a means of stopping a plague. Unfortunately, here we are, months and months later, and the plague is still here. You know, there are some municipalities, some Jewish cities, which are not goris that corona exists. Corona who? But the unfortunately sad situation is it's still wreaking havoc in Jewish homes in the Jewish world all over. Just in the past 36 hours, I've received multiple requests that say Tehillim from people that I know, not older people, younger people that unfortunately are in the hospital with COVID. You know, also people saying, oh, now it's not so bad. There are cases, there are many cases from people in the hospital. And perhaps this could be a chizuk, this could be a means of bringing bracha, literally, into our homes, our communities, if we, those 100 brachos that we say a day, amongst others, we should make sure to do them right. So, Bez Hashem, that should be a schuss for everybody. I want to talk about a case, or actually, I have 5 different cases of how we could have scenarios. I'm talking today about specific bracha situations. First case, a guy has a nice fleishik meal. A guy has a nice fleishik meal, and somehow at the end of the meal, they didn't bench yet, they're sitting on the couch, they're schmoozing, maybe they should have, and a knock at the door. Oh, it's one of their neighbors they had over recently for a Shabbos meal. They wanted to bring them a gift. What did they bring them? This huge, gorgeous platter of Godiva chocolate. Oh, heaven sent, godly chocolate. They can't hold back. Everyone goes and grabs their favorites from the platter. The quickest to the draw opens the wrapper with lots of kavana about to eat his chocolate, says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nihyeh B'dvaro. And then someone gets out of the trance of chocolate and says, oh no, we're fleishik. What should they do? Here someone just made a bracha, Shehakol, on the chocolate. Can they eat the chocolate and save themselves from a bracha vatala? Or do you say no? You can't. Now some people are going to say, okay, let them say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Va'ed. When there's an idea when a person says a bracha Chas V'Sholom Vatala, they should say that line, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Va'ed. However, the poskim write that's not a tikkun for bracha vatala. If there's a bracha vatala situation, it's a bracha vatala. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso is some means of expressing remorse over what you just did. But it's not a full tikkun of the bracha vatala. You did an avera, a chomer avera, which we'll get to. So what does one do in that case? Is there any halachic tzad that one could have a little bit of that chocolate to save themselves from a bracha vatala? I'll give you another case. Right, it's coming up in about 5-6 weeks. Is a very strange tainus. I'm sure we'll probably end up giving a share on that. Tainus of Asar Batavis. That this year Asar Batavis turns out on the Friday. So a husband comes home from work. His wife is cooking in the kitchen. Even better, his wife is cooking in the kitchen and she's not there. Come in. It's been a busy day. The aroma is unbelievable. And she's cooking something. Oh, I could just taste one. And you make a bracha, you're about to pop in your mouth, and then your wife screams. First, she screams at you because you're stealing something from her cooking on Friday afternoon. But secondly, she says, it's a tinus. Of all the days, yeah, it's a tinus on Friday afternoon. It's such a weird phenomenon. But it could happen. It's off the person's mind. He tastes something on Friday afternoon. He makes it, about to taste it. Makes a bracha. Is there any tzad that you're allowed to taste something during a tainus to avoid bracha vatala? You can have a case. Shabbos morning. Setting up a beautiful spread. You're about to grab something. You make a bracha. You realize, oh no, I didn't hear Kiddush yet. Motzei Shabbos. Case 4. Motzei Shabbos. Wow, look at this amazing gala malava malka. You're about to have it, and you realize, I got caught up picking up all my kids. I never had a havdalah yet. You make a bracha on something before you make havdalah. Would one be allowed to eat it then? And a fifth case, if you could think of more cases that fit this similar scenario, you're welcome to add. A fifth case, during the 9 days we know you can't have meat or wine. What would happen if during the 9 days you notice, you realize, oh, you're about to make, you made a bracha on either wine or meat, but you can't have it. In such a scenario, is there a tzad that you could have a taste of that wine, a taste of that meat, which today is forbidden foods, because it's nine days for the Ashkenazim, or Shavua Shechalbo for the Svardim, the week of Tisha B'Av. If you made a bracha on it, yikes, in such a scenario, could you eat from it? So these five cases are similar in that you made a bracha on food which is forbidden due to the circumstances you're in. Is there any halachic allowance to taste a little bit of it for that bracha to be chal on? Or do we say, no, if it's forbidden food, you can't have the chocolate while you're fleishik, so game over. Sorry, Charlie, you made a mistake. Made a bracha latala. There's no way to rectify it. So those are the five scenarios I'd like to discuss today. Now first, to understand these halachas, let's go over in general the halachas of making a bracha on forbidden foods. And that's discussed clearly in the Shulchan Aruch. Our five cases are not clearly discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to have to search and find from the poskim, modern day poskim, that deal with these situations. It's modern day, some achronim. But in the Shulchan Aruch you find a rechayim simin kuf tzadivav. First bar makom on your sheets. Says, achol davar aser. If someone eats something which is forbidden to them, pasuk shat, this means something which is non-kosher. The Mishabura adds, even let's say a person made a neder. We're not supposed to make nedarim, but let's say a person made a neder. He really has to push himself on the diet, so he decided he's going to make a neder. No more potato chips. I'm making a neder, not deep potato chips. And then he goes, so there's a neder. He's not allowed to eat. That's a davar aser now to him. A neder, motzei svasacha tishmar, creates a halachic iser. Potato chips are now as practically aser to him as chazer. People are saying to themselves, boy, that would be a good way for me to go on a diet. If I really view potato chips like chazer, even though you have to be careful, some potato chips have chazer in them. Always check the bags. So, achol davar iser, the Mechaber writes, achol pi sheino asa ol medarbanan, even if it will be something which is only rabbinically prohibited, ein mezamnim olav, we wouldn't have a zimun on it, vein mevarchim olav, lo betchilo v'lo besof. We don't make a bracha before we eat it, we don't make a bracha after we eat it. So if you're cheating on your diet that you made with the neder, if chas v'shalom a person is a bal taiva and he's having his McDonald's cheeseburger, so these things you would not make a bracha on. What's the reason that I also you would not answer amen to the person's bracha? Right? Someone's eating something that's aser, you would not make a bracha on it. You wouldn't answer amen. I'm just thinking of a scenario, but how that would fit into this. Let's say you have a Baal Tshuva. He's not yet a Baal Tshuva, but he's learning about things. And he knows the concept of Baal Bracha. And the guy, or you can even have it, you know, you find sometimes the workers in a Jewish shop in Williamsburg, they can speak a fluent Yiddish. They also know brachas. Let's say, you know, Alejandro in your warehouse decides he's going to make a bracha on his Big Mac. So halacha is you would not answer amen on his bracha. If someone's making a bracha on a davar aser, you know, you can thank God for his meal, but invoking the Shem Hashem, we would not answer amen on a bracha on a davar aser. And the Mishabura explains the reason is Mishabura and Sivkot and Gimel. Hovadavar Isaru, Vyesha Vera Bachilaso, Minites the Shame Bachoso Alze. It's a disgrace for the name of Hashem with his bracha. So, really, a person making a bracha on something which is usur, again, whether that thing innately is usur or he makes a neder on it. So, in both of those cases, halacha would be you did not make a bracha rishon or achron. However, the Mechaber writes in Sif Beis, Im achol davar asur b'makom sakana. If a person, chas v'shalom, has a sickness and he must eat anything. That means going into McDonald's and having a burger. If he's sick, b'makom sakana, it's the only thing he could eat. The halacha is mevarchen olav. We would make a bracha. Very important halacha. Halacha is your b'makom sakana. Person would be allowed to eat something which is treif. And not only is a person allowed to eat it, right? Mishnah Berurah writes in Sif Katan Hey, V'atam dekivin desakanahu hatera ka'achal. If it's makam sakana, we know pikuach nefesh is docha Torah. That means the food you're eating. Rasmal Tzon, you hear these stories. Person in the Holocaust, where it was mamash sakanas nefashos, where it was at that stage, it'll be mutter for him to eat something not kosher. And in such a case, that's not called he's eating something aser, it's called he's eating something which is mutter. V'adraba, mitzvah kalavit, v'hatza nafsho, k'siv v'chai behem. And therefore, in such a case, one would make a bracha on something that's aser. Right? Good trivia. Where would a person make a bracha on treif, the makam sakana, you would make a bracha rishona, you make a bracha achrona, 100%, because what you're doing is a mitzvah, what you're eating is mutter, and the proper thing is to thank Hashem before and after one eats. But that's, so far, what the Shulchan Aruch does clearly talk about is making a bracha on forbidden foods, like full-blown treif, full-blown, let's say a neder a person makes. So those things, if he's violating it, you cannot make a bracha. If he's doing it mishum sakana, then he would be allowed, he would be required in that scenario to make a bracha. But these still don't necessarily talk to our cases. Perhaps our cases are a little bit better, because basar b'chalav, the food that you're eating, basar, obviously, we're dealing with kosher meat, and the chalav is kosher milk product. It's not something that's treif. It's something which you can't have one after the other. Perhaps, b'makom, you made a bracha, you made that shahako on the Godiva chocolate after you had your nice steak and your fleishiks. But maybe in this scenario, is there a tzad to perhaps permit it? So, I saw multiple modern-day Sfarim talk about it. I'm going to bring in a moment from one of the biggest poskim in Eretz Yisrael, Bazriel Orbach, son of Shlomo Zalman. He has a sefer in Basel B'chal of Vushe Oz. So that's where I found this. But most posts can say the following halacha. If the case is you're in the middle of the meal, you didn't bench yet, you're still minutes away from those bites of eating fleishik food, and you mistakenly made a bracha on shahako, in that scenario, it will be hard to find anyone who would allow you to take a bite out of that chocolate to satisfy that your bracha should not be levatal. Everyone would say, in that case, you're stuck. Why is it that you're stuck? Now, I really should add to the question for a moment. One might argue to me the following argument. What is the iser of bracha latol? What type of iser is that? So, it's actually a major machlokas rishonim. The Rambam does learn, this I did not put on your sheets, but the Rambam learns that bracha levatala is an iser daraisa of losisa shem hashav, right? One of the biggies. You shouldn't go and say Hashem's name in vain. And thus, a bracha levatala is 100% an iser daraisa, according to the Rambam. Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph. Tosfos argues and says, no, that if someone makes a bracha levatala, midoraisa, that's not a violation of the Siso Seim Hashav. Why is that not called saying Hashem's name in vain? The answer is because the Torah is referring to when it says Osiso Seim Hashav is a person to blurt out, you know, using God's name to curse somebody, to say something, says Hashem's name. But, so that would be in vain. That would be bad. But if a person used the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvaro, his intention was actually to bless Hashem's name. It was in the tzura, in the form of a bracha. So his intention was to bless Hashem's name. Unfortunately, it's not the correct scenario. He made the wrong bracha. He made the bracha in the wrong circumstance. That's not called on the deraisa level you're violating L'sisa Shem Hashav. It would still be awesome at the Rabbanan. And not only would it be awesome at the Rabbanan, the post can say, it would be a very strict Rabbanan, a very chomer Rabbanan. But a Rabbanan there would be. Now, practically, I'm not going to go through all Hilchos Basa B'Chalav, but not every case of Basa B'Chalav is full-fledged Daraisos. Firstly, you know, if we're not dealing with meat, we're dealing with chicken. That's already down a level. And we'll talk, you know, once you finish the meal, right? Now, the case I'm starting with is you are in the middle of the meal. But okay, but let's say there's some degree of space. So potentially even in there might be room. But one might argue, look, especially if you take the position of the Rambam, the bracha levatala on one side might sound like a more chomer iser, could be an iser daraisa, than the bus of Bechalav Isser on the other side. So if you're weighing sort of Daraisa versus the Rabbanan, for sure, if you're choshish for the sheet of the Rambam, even on its side is an Isser Darabanan, it's a very weighty Darabanan. So perhaps we should bend a little the Isser Bas of Bechalav for the Isser of Brachal Vatala. And for choosing between the two Isserim, perhaps one might argue that we should be vigilant and not to violate an iser of bracha levatala. But even that being said, as I started to mention before, I believe the consensus opinion of the poskim is no one would say if you're in the middle of a meal of fleishiks and you had made a bracha on something shahako, that you could eat it. Even take a bite out of it. Snip it. No one would say that. But for two reasons. Firstly, they wouldn't let you violate that Isser Bas B'Chalav. Secondly, all the more so, it's because for you to go and eat that Bas B'Chalav, that would be an active violation, what we'd say, kum va'aseh. It would be an active violation of an iser. As opposed to the person who already made the bracha, his violation of bracha vatala would be more passive. It's also for him to eat the chocolates.
It's the middle of the meal. So even if he were to make a bracha and eat the chocolate, it would still be usher for him, so it would still be a bracha no matter what.
Oh, so someone's bringing up the idea that perhaps eating it would be viewed a bracha v'atala any time he's making a bracha in the middle of a meal on something which is melchiks, well, it's a meal of fleshiks. But that's not necessarily how you view bracha v'atala. Since that is the correct bracha, a shahakal is the correct bracha to make on this food, so pashtus, that's not innately viewed as bracha v'atala. It's only a bracha v'atala if you don't eat any of that chocolate.
What? So it's not, if you have, let's say, a ham sandwich and you dip a moti on it, is that a bracha v'atala?
Oh, so, so let me explain this point further. The contrast between the basa b'chalav case versus the case I gave you before in the Shulchan Aruch, a ham sandwich is innately aser. So there is no bracha on a ham sandwich that you're allowed to make. Unless you're b'makom sakana. So that would be also to make a bracha straight up. But something which is basar b'chalav, which each ingredient, I have my basar, and now I have my chalav. Maybe a cheeseburger itself, your argument would be valid. A cheeseburger would be like a piece of ham. Is that it's that item in front of you innately is a forbidden food. But my Godiva chocolate, it's not forbidden. Maybe if you hold Holy Israel. But my Godiva chocolate is not forbidden. It's kosher. It's just a circumstance of eating that after I'm eating fleishiks. The circumstance makes that awesome. So, again, let me just chazer this point before I take a question and go to the next step. So, if you're in the middle of the meal, and you have your fleishiks, you made a bracha on your Godiva chocolate. Unfortunately, in that situation, that is a bracha v'atala, and there's no way to rectify. You cannot have a snippet of that chocolate to save your bracha v'atala. You should say your Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elyon Vod, but come Yom Kippur, or why wait? But you should feel bad, remorseful, do tshuva, because you did make a bracha v'atala. Yes?
What if instead you eat something else, but it's still a problem because you didn't have
it? Oh, excellent question. So I actually did see some poskim talk about this. Is let's say you made a bracha shahakal. Let's say, could you substitute, would that be an eitzah, to substitute something else with a shahakal to utilize that for the bracha you made? So that gets into a complicated halachas where you specifically have in mind to make a bracha on this chocolate to have it be, that bracha take effect on something else on the table is not so simple. There are some scenarios that might work where maybe you're a guest and you don't know they're bringing out and there maybe are other chocolates on the table and you just happen to pick up the one which is milchiks, but you easily would have had the one that was power of two. It's a mixed platter of Godiva chocolates. There's milchik ones and power of ones, and you took the wrong one. You never would have made that one. Yeah, in such a scenario, it's a very good eitzah, Avram. In a scenario where potentially your bracha could be chal, could take effect in something else which is right there in front of you, then that would be okay. But most of the time, you're not going to have a scenario like that. And your bracha would not be able to, you wouldn't be able to transfer it to something else. So in this case, most of the time you're stuck. But if the person with, I change the details of the case. Let's say the person already, it's sometime removed from, you benched, and it's sometime removed from how long you ate the piece of meat, even if it's under 6 hours. So some poskim will say they're going to be a heter. What's the heter? If you look on the sheets from Israel Orbach, I'll start from the second line. He brings Kasa B'Darchei Tshuva. Shem Sefer Zecha La'Avraham. Shem Achol Basar B'Choref. Very interesting halacha. If you eat meat in the wintertime, nice lunch. The Himtin Arba Shals. You waited 4 hours. The Shachach Birach Al Gvina. You made a mistake. You made a bracha on cheese. Sheyesh La'Achol Lecha V'Lismach Adas Prichadosh. The Prichadosh is a very interesting shita. The Bechorif Sagi B'Arba Shals. In the wintertime, all you need, instead of doing 6 hours, you can wait 4 hours. Don't try this at home. It's a heter. We don't necessarily use it in other scenarios, but in this case, the Avshah Achronim Chokal Pri Chodesh. The Achronim Argon Pri Chodesh. That's why you practically don't hear much about this. But Mekal Makam Kadesh Shetiyah Barakul Vatola Yachul Vahakul Shekvar Avu Sheish Sholz Manios Over Lav Hachi Eim Vahakul. Is the reason why after 4 hours, one is allowed, according to the Pri Chodesh, to eat milk after meat in the winter, is if you go through the math, halakhically we wait between milk and meat, classic hours. We do not wait shalos manios. However, the Pri Chodesh has a shita that you can rely on shalos manios. So in the winter, where it's shorter daytime hours, so 4 hours would already be 6 halachic hours. And thus, one would be allowed in such a scenario to take a bite. It's not saying you should devour the chocolate. Just take a bite. That your bracha, a bracha rishona goes on a mashu, any small amount. So even though practically you're still fleishiks, and we wouldn't rely on this pri chadash, it's only going to work for one bite. Don't come to me, you're going to take a whole bite. One little bite of that chocolate ball, according to the Pri Chodesh, one would be allowed to take to save themselves from a bracha latol. Yes?
According to that, what if you, aren't there opinions that you only have to put like 3 hours between the milk?
Yes.
So,
let me take it to the next paragraph. V'nira shezel l'shitas v'shulchan aruch hasova shemidina tzarech la'amtim sheishol. This is all according to the Shulchan Aruch that says, Midin, you have to wait 6 hours. Avol, I see everyone's catching up with the same question. Avol dasa ramah shenakot le'ikir ke'at ha'osvos disagi besigul birach. Really, Nikar Adin, you can wait 3 hours or even 1 hour. One could be so mech on that sheet in this situation. So that means, I believe they're saying this, all the poskim that I saw quote this, no one put the asterisk and said, if you're German, you own the problem, it's already 3 hours. It's talking about us. Those people that normally keep 6 hours, boy, this is a big hetter. Those people that keep 6 hours, if you mistakenly, after you benched, and let's say 1 hour passed from the time you ate fleishiks, and now you mistakenly made a bracha on milchiks, Zakr Bazriel Orbach and others, or Bavaji Yosef has the same psak for you svartim out there, is one would be allowed to have milk after meat. Put this as a quiz in your next Devar Torah. When would one halakha be allowed? You can't set up this scenario. Oh, I forgot that I'm fleishiks. You can't set it up al chachila. But b'di'evet, if one made a bracha on milchiks, on that chocolate, 1 hour after benching from your fleishik meal, one would be allowed, since anyway it's only a chumra, the idea of waiting beyond an hour, that's a chumrah. There are different minhagim, but one would be allowed to save one from this chumrah inyan of brachol vatola, whether it's nisr deraisa or even if it's nisr derabanan, one would be allowed, the post can say, to eat a snippet, a little bit of that chocolate to save your bracha batala. No. Well, again, you're allowed to have one bite. The other rest of your bite, see your local minhag of how much more time is on the clock. If you're a 6-hour person and you're doing this after 1 hour, you got 5 more hours to go, buddy. And you say, well, who could have just a bit of gadaiva and not eat the rest? You're onus rachmana patre. I'm sorry, but you got to stand strong. Now, I must point out this is not universally accepted. On the top of your sheets, I have a Shal Tshuva Shevet Alevi, which is Rav Vozner from Bnei Brak, which I'm sure many people follow him, amongst the many Hasidim. And he writes over here, this is Shulchan Aruch, Chelek Aleph, Simen Reish Hei. He writes, Nira, second line, the Mavarech is a Ma'achal, after he made the bracha, he realized, oh my gosh, there's some potential iser involved. He has some chumrah, which is at some halakhic basis. Obviously, the chumrah that we all keep of waiting extra time after one eats between fleishiks and melchiks is a chumrah that has a tremendous makor. Eina mechuyev lahachnitz atzma leiser. Person does not have to, is not obligated to put himself in a situation where he's going to be eating something which is forbidden to him. Lo yachol shal bracha vatala. Do not be worried about a bracha vatala. So the Shevet HaLevi is going the opposite way. He says, macholos asuros. Things. Enochonomics is not as bad as treif. This is not as bad as a mixture of basa b'chalav. You ate basa, now you're eating chalav. It's not the same. The Shevet HaLevi, where Vosner says, no. Even that person should be machmer and should not eat it and will be a bracha batala. Yes, you have to do tshuva. But chas v'sholom, do not violate any of your halachic standards. So it's a pretty major, it's machlokas. Again, you have multiple poskim in the Ashkenazic world, amongst them Rav Azriel Orbach, Rav Adi Yosef Itzal, in the Sephardic world, would permit it in such a case, after at least 1 hour in benching, if you made a bracha on something shahakal, on something chalavi, one would be allowed to have just a taste, but Rav Vozner would argue on that. That's Basa B'chalav. We have 4 more cases. But we're almost there. What happens by a tainus? What happens by a fasting? Same type of scenario. Remember the case. Right? It's Friday afternoon, Asara B'Davis. The aroma of Shabbos in your home distracts you and you forget it's a tainus. Who ever heard of Friday afternoon tinnituses? Gosh, you're breaking your fast on Kiddush. First thing you're going to taste, hopefully, is nice, fresh challah. Ah, right? So, but that Friday afternoon, person mistakenly goes, makes a bracha, and is about to eat something in his kitchen. His wife screams at him and says, it's a tinnitus. So what does one do? So there's a Shari Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch that writes that one would not be allowed to eat on a tainus, even if it entails eating such a small amount under a kazayas. Shari Tshuva says one would not be allowed in such a case to be matur whatsoever. It's tainus, it's also can't eat an untainus, and thus it's over. However, again, we're assuming we're talking not tainus of Tisha B'Av and not the tainus of Yom Kippur, but the other four tanesim that we have, a kol shekin, the person makes one of his other, makes a personal tainus. However, I saw the Bavad Yosef, Tzatzal, as well as modern day poskim, amongst them Shmuel Kamenetsky, that they would allow in such a scenario their matrit. Because since anyway, the iser eating on a tainus is some din derabanan, right? Not a daraisa, the concept of a fast. And here a person made a bracha v'atala, which we said is potentially an iser daraisa, or even not an iser daraisa, it's a very chomer iser derabanan. So with Shmuel and Lahavdol, Rav Avadji Yosef Zatzal, they are ready to say in such a scenario one could violate eating on a tainus, again, just a small amount, a mashahu. That way your bracha would be chal on that, and it won't be lovatol. Obviously, once again, I'm sure that Rav Vosner would argue on this psak too. Right, he would go with the Shari Tshuva, he would go with the other poskim that would say that one would not be allowed to eat it. But, okay, you have a machlokas here. Obviously, in such a case, you know, it would be best if a person asks a shayla, because there are different shitas out there. But sometimes in the scenario, it's like, there's no time for you to ask a question. One of my kids told me a story, an interesting story. They were davening in school, and someone realized in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei that halachic shayla, what should they do? So it was in the school, and the davening. So what are you supposed to do? Now the real halacha is, people don't know this, it looks so foreign. If you know how to learn, you know how to look something up, you could go out of your Dalet Amos of davening, go to the shelf, pull out a Mishabru, and go through it. The middle of Shmoneh Esrei. 100%. If you have a shayla, you're not sure what to do, one would be allowed to look it up. You also would be allowed to ask. Ask a shayla. This person didn't know, you know, but they raised their hand, they got the Rebbe's attention, the Rebbe came by, they motioned to them their situation, and the Rebbe told them what to do. You know, we should never feel, especially nowadays, come on, I'm sure there's so many poskim hotlines. People call people. One of the most common things, I don't want to advertise, I don't want to get into trouble, but you know, you get these random questions people ask, oh, what happens, you know, besides the random kasha shailas, you know, is this kosher? Can you accept the symbol? But you do get a lot of times people have bracha shailas and the halakhic shailas, the like. So, but the more we go over these type of halakhas ahead of time, hopefully the less confusion a person will have. Shas Mai, so we're bound to, you know, we live hectic lives, and unfortunately, our minds are not fully there many times, and we make mistakes. You know, obviously the best thing is if a person focuses before they make a bracha of the whole scenario, the whole situation, that itself will avoid many of these problems. I'm fleishix. I can't have the Godiva chocolate. It's a sorbetavis. I can't eat. So if we keep our minds in the game, that itself will solve us many problems. But if even in the cases where we're confused, it's been a long day, okay, by going through these halakhos, hopefully it'll solve our problems ahead of time. The final three areas, before Kiddush, if a person made a bracha on a food before he heard Kiddush on the Shabbos morning, if a person made a bracha on food Motzi Shabbos before he heard Avdallah, if during the 9 days a person made a bracha on wine or meat, all these cases, I found many poskim, and it seems to be the consensus in these cases, the poskim will all matter these cases. If you made a bracha on a food before Kiddush, eat the food, just a little bit, then wait the rest for Kiddush. If you made a bracha before Avdallah, eat a little bit, and wait until after Avdallah. During the 9 days, you would be allowed, during the 9 days, you would be allowed to have a bit of meat, have a sip of wine to save you from a bracha v'atala. Why are the poskim more makel on these cases than others? And here the poskim say a very nice lamda shel chelek, that these cases, perhaps more than the others, it's a timing issue. You didn't make Kiddush yet. You didn't make Avdala yet. The Chazal made certain Yisurim. Okay, you can't eat before Kiddush. You can't eat before Avdala. But that type of thing, the food itself is not Asur. Even the scenario itself, it's not the scenario per se. Okay, Chazal made a din that you should not eat before Kiddush, not before Avdala. The 9 days. But in those cases, the poskim are mako. I found the Shevet HaLevi, Vosner himself says, for the 9 days, Shaila, he would be mako over there too. I think by the other ones too. I found with Vosner, this is really, I guess, a sixth case. He says, let's say a person is makbid on Pas Yisrael. He only eats Pas Yisrael. He really could have had ones with Yashan, Pas Yisrael, all these cases. Let's talk about Pas Yisrael for a moment. And if a person's makbid only to have Pas Yisrael, but he made a bracha on something and he found out before he ate it that it's Pas Akum. Wasn't made by a Jew. So, again, Rav Vosner over there also would ma'atar it. Because he says you find in halacha that there's a heter Pas Akum Mishum Eva for fear of antagonizing Goyim. One would be allowed to have Pas Akum. So you see that Isser is not a carte blanche, is not an Isser across the board. There is room to be makel by Pas Akum built into it itself. So Huadin, for a bracha v'atala, to save one from a bracha v'atala, that would also be permitted. So all of these other scenarios, before Kiddush, before Avdallah, the 9 days, we just had the case Pas Akum, someone was machmer in it, all these one would be allowed to be makel and have a bite of it, even though it's something that to you is normally forbidden. So hopefully when we walk away from today's share is hopefully a nice picture, overview of all these different halachas of forbidden foods. There is a difference between something which is treif, something which is flat out basa b'chalav, versus the iser of eating milk after meat. There's perhaps another layer difference of eating on a tainis, eating before and after, before Kiddush, before Avdallah, during the 9 days. All these things, they might be usher, they might be forbidden to you, but there's different levels, different scenarios, different circumstances. And sometimes there is a heter to eat these foods where one mistakenly made a bracha to save themselves from a bracha latala. I'd like to wish everyone have a wonderful, wonderful week. And Be'ez Hashem, see you next week.